See, that's always been my dream, all that. Yeah, when he walks out, you know, it's like, okay. Like, that's what some of these guys in these big mega churches get. You know, they walk out and celebrities. And then, but God has told me, he let me know a long time ago, you're not going to be a celebrity on this earth. You just can't be one. But I'll have your place in heaven and you'll do fine. You know, even old Joel might have to move over. You never know. Might give me a place as big as his. Never can tell. So, title of this message is Faith and Service and Courage. And, you know, you hear a lot of faith, hope, love, but this is about faith, service, courage. And just simple faith. I'm going to jump right into it. And our first point and is just simple faith. It's what I was sharing earlier. I try to be careful because it's, I don't want political rallies and all that, but there's things that concern me in this world and I get angry. I have to be careful, and that's why the message you're going to receive, and I confess to you my own shortcomings, my own faults with this. I let it bother me too much. I really do. I let it anger me too much. The stuff that I see going on. It's real hard for me, having worn the uniform and doing all that and trying to, during the Cold War, that was my era, trying to stop the very things that we're allowing here, and it's real hard for me. I can't adjust to it. I'm trying, but I can't accept that we're doing the things right now and allowing in this country the very things that we were sending people to die to stop. I can't get it. That actually, if you can really remember back, was part of the, at least the excuse, justification used to go into the Vietnam War, if you remember, was to stop the communist regime from taking over all of South Vietnam, and so we look how many people died in that, at least with that justification, and we find it was a lot more than that. But the point being is, so many have surrendered and given everything, and it's hard for me then not to be angry to see, and just one fell swoop is like, I know it's been planned for a long time, but to see so much that is just wrong, just not right, and it's I can't adjust. And then God says, "Okay, you're not going to be able to take on the whole world, son, but you can bring messages, because if you're struggling with it, other people struggle." And let's just get back to what this all is. And so the first point here is that's just a little background is and the agonizing and the struggling and the stuff that I'm reading and looking into, and it's like, wow, you know. So, and then the Lord says, you know, where's your faith? And that's what He's saying to all of us. Where's your faith? Where is it? Simple faith. That's all. Just simple faith. And then immediately, I'll read this to you. It's so simple, and yet, golly, we complicate it. So, let me read. There are going to be several different passages here. As we go through these, well, three different passages, we go through these three points. But Mark 10 gives us this little insight. It says, people were bringing little children to Jesus and for him to place his hands on them, and the disciples rebuked them. You know, and Jesus saw this, he was indignant, and he said to them, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them. He said, For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. And he said, truly, I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. And he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and blessed them. And you read that, and I use that when people want us to, you know, dedicate their children. We don't baptize children, but we dedicate them to the Lord. And this is a passage I use a lot, most often. But then what jumps out is he says, truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. And do you ever stop and think about that? Do you ever contemplate it? what he was saying. He said that the disciples, they were rebuking these kids. By the way, before you ever... We exalt these guys to this godlike status, and I honor them. I really do. But they were just like us. They were human beings, and they had pros and cons. I know there's a series. What is this series everybody loves that we're... Chosen. I haven't been able to see that. But the Chosen, where I hear that Chosen is they're really human, and they are. They were. Because, I mean, how hard-hearted can you be when little kids come into Jesus and they're saying, oh, get out of here. Shh, get out of here. Don't go. You know, and it's like, well, you guys are really something, aren't you? I mean, really kind-hearted bunch of folks here. You know? Little kids, and you won't even let them come to Jesus? And it says they were rebuking kids. What does that word rebuke mean? They were really chastising them. They get out of here. You don't need to be here. And Jesus said, you know, in our words today, well, in the words I want to hear him say, he said, knock it off. You know, knock it off. Enough of that. He said, you let these kids come in here, and then he uses the children like Jesus does so often. He uses every situation, so should we, as a teaching situation. And so he looks at the little kids, and here's those disciples. Can't you see the looks on their faces? It's not here, but just a little imagination. If you just got rebuked, and all these kids' parents are standing there looking at you because you acted like such a, you know, and but these kids, can't you see those disciples pouting? You know, acting just like a, so he's looking at them, the teaching list, and he says, I'll tell you something, guys, here it is. And he's looking at these disciples. He said, you don't get this, do you? He said, if you don't come to me like these, just like these little children, if you won't come to me as an adult like these little kids just running in here. And you know what little kids were doing, right? I mean, they're little kids. They're not thinking of position or honor or here's the rabbi. What are they doing? They're running to him. You know, they wanted, you know, the parents, they wanted to be blessed. The people brought little children in to place his hands on them, but these little kids, and they're chattering and going on. And they're just as trusting. And he said, see, this is what I want. And my people, I want you to come into my kingdom. I want you to serve me like this. And it's like, think about those little kids. And what does a little kid want? They want a gentle look. They want hugs. They want to feel safe. They want to be accepted. They want to be secure. And that's what Jesus offers, all of that. Gentleness, warm hugs, safety, acceptance, security. And he's saying, I want you to come to me like these little kids. They're totally innocent. They just come blundering in here. They don't believe anybody's going to hurt them. And they know they're safe with me. That was the message he's trying to get across here. You know, he was saying, these little kids are coming here. The parents have brought them. And they trust me. They're, you know, I can see them, can't you? They're grabbing hold of him. They weren't afraid to grab him, hold his hands. They know the parents are holding, trying to hold all these little kids down to see what happens. We all know that, right? They're squiggling around and, you know, and squiggling and squirming and all doing all this stuff and making a racket. And they want to, you know, they don't have the learned hang-ups that adults have. So they just throw themselves. And, you know, the little kids, you can hold your arms out to them. And if you're a trusting kind of, you know, person that can be trusted, they come running to you. And they believe that you'll provide for them. They don't care what anybody thinks. Little kids won't look around and see what you're thinking. They're just going to do. And he's saying, that's the way I want you to come to me. Too many times when we pray, we're going to do something. We're going to be a Christian. We look around, see who's looking, who's watching. And so many times we're kind of embarrassed, we're on our guard. Well, I don't want to put people off. I don't want to make people think. A little kid doesn't do that. They just do it. They just love. They just go flying in there. And so when he said, I want you to come and receive the kingdom like this little child, what's he saying? He said, I want you to come running to me like they do. I don't want you to be looking around and see what everybody else thinks. I don't want you to be concerned about opinion. or acceptance or anything of other people. I want you to just run to me. Ask me to put my hands on you. Ask me. Come to me. Trust me to do these things that you need in your life. You got problems in politics. You got problems in government. You got problems locally. You got problems in school systems. Well, we do. Critical race theory is one of the worst things that's ever happened to us. To be taught in the schools, it really is. It's horrible. Golly, the Bible says to love everybody. Not select any particular person or group of people and set them aside. That means to do that, you take something away from somebody else. Love everybody. Why in the world has color become now such a thing? All along we want to do away with that, and now it's such a focal point. Not color, it's heart. Jesus isn't interested in your skin. He's interested in your soul. And He's interested in your heart. And that's what Christianity is all about. That's all that matters. And not little children. Just come to Him. And all this junk. And what's appropriate and not appropriate. And Christians, sometimes, man, we're letting what? People, world opinion, society's opinion, your friend's opinion dictate your Christianity. I hear people tell me, and they say, well, I'd like to do this. I would like to have walked up to that person and prayed with them. But you know, all these people were watching. It's like, what a great moment. Let them watch. I mean, what are you really afraid of? You walk up and you say, hey, let me pray with you. And you don't have to be some elaborate thing. You know, just just God touch this person, touch my friend and heal them. They said, well, yeah, but other people are watching. Good. Got an audience. Let them see God at work instead of worrying what they think. So anyway, not to be harsh with this, but God, and He took these little children. Look what He did. In His arms. He didn't just keep them in arms. See, they came to be blessed. They wanted Jesus to put His hands on them. What did Jesus do? He took the children in His arms. And friends, He's saying, I want you to come to me like little children without all these hang-ups and all this stuff. And let me take you in my arms and hold you and give you the security, give you the love, give you the comfort, give you everything you're so struggling to achieve out here. If you'll just come to me with innocent faith, as a childlike faith, I'll grab you up in my arms, I will hold you secure, and I will meet your needs and take care of you. He will. Keep it in mind. Don't forget it. He tucked the children in His arms. We're His children. Let Him take us in His arms. You see, I don't know how to do that. God, just run to Him like these kids. Trusting. Leave just all your hang-ups. God, we're so hung up on hang-ups. Aren't we? We've got our dysfunctions, and we're codependent, and we're enablers, and none, and holy, let's leave it and run to Him. Come to Him this morning and just, Jesus, bless me, I need it. Bless me, Lord, and let Him take you in His arms, His spiritual arms. Let His Holy Spirit just come into your life and overflow you. He tucked them in His arms, then He placed His hands on them and blessed them. Just come running to Him and just believe Jesus and know Jesus says, I'll never leave you, forsake you, I'll always be there for you. You know what these little kids were doing that adults have got to relearn? You've got to learn to just cast off that old self and come right into His arms. Now, man, I've had so many things. I've had people, even here in some of the early stages, you know, we started this church back when, and then as we moved along, and I've had people say, oh, you need to be more formal. You're not formal enough. Tony, you need to dress more formally and do all this stuff. Why? To meet somebody's idea of worship? Goodness sakes. I mean, if you want to wear a suit in here, go ahead. Nobody's ever stopped it. I'm not going to wear one. Now, if you pass away, I'll wear one for you. If you want to go meet the Lord, I'll wear a suit for you and do that. I generally dress up for that to some extent. And if you want to get married, I'll do that for you. And I'll dress up. But this, no. I stopped doing that a long time ago. But you can wear just about whatever's appropriate. And who cares? But I've had all that, and you need to be more formal, and let's make it a little darker in here, and then, you know, you need to wear, dignified. And there's Jesus. I get this. Now see, I'm not putting down anybody, but look at this. And this is where I'm coming from. Let's do all that, and so many places still are so hung up in all the traditions and formalities. But here comes Jesus in sandals, in a robe, and it's dirty. How in the world can you walk around in the roads of Israel with all that dust and dirt? And the guy probably had the dirtiest feet around. And he's walking everywhere. I mean, just look at him like everybody else. But these little kids are running to him because they know he's real. He's not going around like one of the Pharisees with all those robes and stuff. Did little kids run to them, by the way? Of course not. Did anybody run to the Pharisees? They ran from them. You think about it. But they ran to Jesus because he was real. And he put off all that stuff. This is not about dress and all that. It's just simply to say, goodness sakes, leave all your traditions. Leave all your hang-ups about God and worship. And just read the scripture. And there's Jesus in his little, everything, the same clothes everybody else wore. Dirty feet, dirty sandals. I'm going to ask you this, all you hand washers, which I wash them a lot, and since COVID, some of you don't have much skin left on your hands, but anyway, how many times a day do you think Jesus got to wash his hands? You ever thought about these real human things? And they ate, and how did they eat? Did they use a fork, a knife and fork most of the time, or what did they do? There, that's right, their little fingers. And so there's those dirty fingers of Jesus picking up food and doing stuff. And what did they wipe their hands? like I do now, on your clothes. Anyway, you know, I have to look at a lot of my jeans. And now this is why I keep two or three pairs of jeans just for church. Because my other jeans, you can see where there's things been, you know, and I do it unconsciously because I've done it since I was a kid. You know, and you I got something on your hands. Why go looking for a towel when you're wearing a towel? you're good to go. You know, and you just keep on moving. But you back in his day, what did they have a roll of Jewish paper towels? You know, so these dirty fingers grab the food, and these dirty hands. We're grabbing these little children. Now, if you did that today with dirty hands and dust all over, listen, there'd be some mamas whipping you, beating on you. Touch my kid with your dirty hands. But that's what he was doing. And nobody worried about it. Now, that was of the times. But see, sometimes we've got to remember that's the same Jesus today, that he said he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We serve the same Jesus today who was grabbing these little kids with dirty hands, dusty robes, dirty feet. And that's not where anybody was worried about. The concern was the blessing. The concern was his love. And friends, don't get all caught up in formalities and traditions and all the stuff that you think should accompany coming to Jesus. He wants you to come to him just and accept him because of who he is, for what he is, and what he can do in your life. He's your Savior. He will save your soul. You ask Jesus into your heart, forgive you your sins, and he'll do it. You come to him like a little child and say, I can't cut this anymore. I can't hack this anymore. I can't deal with this stress anymore. I don't know what to do every time I turn on the TV. It's bad, it's bad, it's bad, and it is. And he'll tell you, why don't you turn on my TV right here? And why don't you look at what I have living and alive right here? This is the news. This is what will set you free. And this is what will keep you free. I want to tell you something. the Chinese and the president and the Congress or whatever it is, and we're all worried about Russia, Iran, all this stuff. That's serious. But God is on his throne, and he is not being overwhelmed with their threats or anything anybody wants to do. And all God has to do is just snap his fingers, and it's a done deal. And you keep that in mind. The centurion came to Jesus, said, "My servant's sick." Jesus said, "I'll come to your house." What happened? That centurion said, "I'm not even worthy to have you come in my house. Jesus, all you have to do is speak the word, and my servant will be healed." And Jesus said, "It's done for you." And the servant was healed that very hour. Friends, we need to be praying, "God, speak the word, and it'll straighten out this mess. God, speak the word, and it ends. God, speak the word, and salvation comes. Jesus, speak the word, and goodness arrives and righteousness again. Speak the word, Lord. That's all you got to do. Speak the word." And he needs some people like little children who come to him and throw themselves into him with none of the formal stuff and none of the church junk. Just coming to him and believing him to do what he says he'll do and accepting him for who he says he is. That's what he wants. And that's what will happen. And just speak the word, Jesus. Just say it right now. Speak the word. I'm praying he will. And you pray that. Two or more are gathered in his name, he's there. Just speak the word. So let me move on to the next point. A heart to serve. Faith, service, courage. Title this message. And God wants us to come in simple faith. And he wants us to then, as when we come in simple faith, to let him give us a heart that serves. There was a little incident. Oh, you can read the whole story. I don't have time to read it all. But in Matthew chapter 20, where Jesus was asked by two of the brothers in this disciple group, "Well, can we be the ones that sit right by you in heaven? We want to rule over these other dudes here." This is the disciples. These guys were just real people. They had their moments when you just go, "Have y'all really ever followed Jesus at all? I mean, did you not get anything here?" But then we look at our own lives and it's like, do you ever ask yourself, you know, do I know anything about Jesus, what I just said? Dead? Any of you just have a spell and then you just wonder, do I even know Jesus at all? Yeah, okay. There's one over here. Anybody else? You know, yeah, okay. So we have some spell people in here. Okay, so we all do, and you'll just fly off the handle and say stuff, and you're thinking, do I even know him? I sure didn't act like it just then. But you do, because you're human, and that's what happens. So two of the guys were saying, we want to sit right there, you're right here. We want to be right there, Jesus, and then these other boys here, they'll be underneath us. So Jesus called them together and said, you know the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. And so he's just giving a little teaching, a little lecture here on the Gentiles, the non-saved people out here. He said, they lord it over people. But he said, that's not the way it's going to work with you. And so instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. Don't you know that soured them for a moment? That just took the thunder away. It's like, what? You know, Jesus, can't you? Wouldn't you like to see their faces, really see their faces when he's telling them this? It'd be the same as our faces if we just said what they said. He said, if you want to become great, you've got to be a servant. And whoever wants to be first around this place, that's what he said, who wants to be first must be your slave. Ooh, those are tough terms. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. And as I work through this, it's like, what is the heart of a servant? We're all called to be servants, but some of you have the gift of serving. That goes even beyond the call of duty here, but everybody is called to be a servant. And so, you know, and so in taking some notes here on this, is like, God, show me what is the heart of a servant? And here's number one. A servant is sensitive to the needs of others. And that's all of us. Weep with those that weep and rejoice with those that rejoice. Friends, let me say this to you as lovingly as I can. If you're not sensitive to the needs of others, you need to get right before God and ask him, what in my heart is so hard that I'm not being obedient to you if I can't feel with other people? Something's wrong. Something's wrong. Just face it head on. Don't make excuses for it. God can make any person in this room, and He wants us to be sensitive to others. And it doesn't mean we compromise with them. It doesn't mean we compromise His Word at all. But to be sensitive to their needs. A servant is yielded to the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit. A servant is yielded to the Spirit so they can be led by the Holy Spirit to care for other people. A servant does not make excuses to not care for others. Friends, listen to me. I don't mean this is not meant to be bad or anything. I hear Christians all the time, and I've done it myself, so I'm not excused either. But I hear them making excuses why they can't be a servant. And here's one of the chief reasons. Get this. Well, the reason that I don't go out there and do anything for people is you don't know how I've been hurt. I said that kind of mockingly, but I've heard that so many times. You don't know how people have hurt me. My response to that is, ask God how many times you've hurt Him and see how that lines up. That's the chief excuse all the time. I don't trust people, and you don't know how they've hurt me. Oh, it's all about you? How many times have you hurt Him? And let's go further. How many times have you hurt other people? And as little children come into Christ, we have to look at ourselves and not make excuses and say, you know what, I'm not, make a decision today right here. I'm not going to make excuses to not serve God, to not help other people. We can look around at the faults and flaws of others, and let's be honest, if you judged your service by the faults of people, there's nobody you'd want to serve. But God knows we need godly servants. We need people who care for other people. They just do things for others. I see service here all the time. Look at all these meals and these special events. There's servants right here. You know, you got a heart of serving, and there's a heart of serving. Just there's a bunch of you. You just can't help yourself. Just always fixing and doing, and that's servers. Yeah? Bringing people stuff. You just can't. There's a lot of you that serve. You just can't help it, can you? You know why? That's God. That's Christ in you, your hope of glory. And I want you to know something. I have people say, I don't want to be a servant, Tony, because that's weak. A servant is the strongest person I know. A servant's not weak, but they're strong. Why? And when you can literally, you know, people take the foot washing thing and say, well, you don't have to do that literally. What he was teaching there is, I want you that humble before me. Because serving sometimes is doing that in a spiritual sense, emotional sense. You have to get down there and listen to people's dirty to help them get through to Jesus Christ's cleansing power. Are you with me? You have to hear some stories. You got to draw them out. I said that last week. We've got to learn to listen to people and let them express themselves. How many of you, you don't have to raise a hand, but how many times or how many of you have ever... I know we have all fallen into this, but you don't let people be themselves. You tell them how to be, and how many of you really let people express themselves and have their feelings and their opinions? They don't have to be right, but how are we ever going to lead them to Christ if we're not interested in their story? Let them share their feelings. You may be going, oh, God. Here's the worst one. Here's what many, and I go through this all the time listening to stories because it's like, oh, I've heard this before. So? Hear it again. It doesn't matter. Hear it again. Draw them out. Let them get it out of their system. Let them deflate. You know, get them calmed down so that you can then share what Jesus wants them to hear. Okay, enough. This sounds like a counseling class. I don't want to do that. But you got to draw people out and be willing to hear them. A true servant really gets it. That's the only way I know to put it. They get it. They get it. They just get it. And I want this last thing about serving, and this is important. A true servant of God does not quit when they're not thanked. Let me tell you this. A true servant of God does not quit when they're not thanked. Listen to me. One of the most thankless jobs on this planet is serving. Especially today. You can do things for people, and they don't even thank you. You know, isn't it great when you do stuff for somebody and they say, thank you, and you're going, wow. But listen to me, all of you. Every servant, that's all of us in this room, you will get hurt as a servant, and you will get taken advantage of, and you will get abused. Just like they did Jesus. Did he stop serving? No. Did he stop caring about people? No. It's worth it, friends. It's worth it. Do I ever have moments where I feel like I'm being taken advantage of, or I'm being taken for granted, or I'm being used? Oh, yeah. How many people say thank you? They call you and oh, could you come now? We've got problems in our family, and I go rush into it. And it's not. I'm not just talking about here. You know, everywhere. And people call from a lot of places, and so you go running, and you stop what you're doing and go running and talk with them. And there's nothing. I've often thought, I wonder if they could just maybe fix me a sandwich or something once in a while, because I miss my lunch listening to this. And nothing. And that doesn't always happen, but it happens more than you'd think. And yet, it's like God's saying, servant, my servants don't quit when they're not thanked. And then it's like, yeah, I know the rest of it. And he said, well, remember it. Because you have rewards in heaven. You're not working for gratification here. You're working to my glory up there. That's what it's about. And Tony, you don't have to have this going on, because the angels in heaven are rejoicing over anyone that you share Christ with that come to Jesus. And God knows. God knows. And He's the one. You're going to get rewarded. Every one of you will be rewarded. And you say, I sure hate waiting that long. So do I. Of course, we were talking about my birthday earlier. Every one of those that comes now, it's like you don't have quite that long to wait now, do you? You know, it's on the other end of it. And that bothers me too. It's like, you don't have as long to wait as you used to. You know, let's don't rush it. Let's don't be in a hurry, Lord. You know, you got something else for me to do? And then let me close with this. God wants me to do all this with courage, with God-given courage. Let me read you Hebrews 3:6. But Christ is faithful as a son over God's house. And we are His house if we hold on to our courage and the hope of which we boast. Friends, listen to me. When you pray in simple faith, when you serve, you got to have courage. It takes courage to do what God wants us to do. It takes courage to pray. I want to tell you something. It takes courage to pray in public. There are people today, like they used to not do this, but there are people today who will actually rebuke you, who will say, that's offensive to me. You know what you're supposed to say? Nothing. Keep praying. It's offensive to you? I'm going to keep doing it. Because every time somebody tells me, hey, you know, you're praying at the table there, that's kind of offensive to me. I'm of a different thing. That's your choice. I don't have a choice. As a Christian, I'm called to publicly manifest Jesus Christ and demonstrate Him to the world, and I'm going to do it. You choose not to have Christ in your life, sorry, but that's your choice. I don't have to say that. I know that. And friends, this tolerance thing and all that only goes so far. But if God leads you to do something, or you're sitting with your family, you're in a restaurant or whatever it is, that's just been particular on my mind, and y'all have that little hand-holding in prayer, you don't have to look around and worry. And if somebody's offended by it, that's their choice. And I'm tired of people with their choices of rejecting Christ telling the people, you and me, who accept Christ, how to live. Now I have a commission and you have a commission, and it's to go into the world and make disciples. And it's not to be intimidated by somebody else. Have courage. Have courage in your faith. Have courage in your serving. God gives you courage, so keep it. Courage is a God-given thing. So I've heard people say, I don't have that kind of... Yes, you do. The Holy Spirit is a courageous spirit. Let me give you a few things about courage, and guess what? We're going home. Yeah, finally. Oh, we're going home. He's not through. Okay, here it is. God wants you to have the courage to be who He put you here to be. Not who somebody else wants you to be. Now there's a little catch to this, right? To be who God put you here to be, there's one big significant thing that you must have the courage to do. Everybody listening? To be who God wants me to be, I have to have the courage to change. I have to have the courage to be changed, to let God transform me. And oh my goodness, and I listen, I'm not... Boy, we get in a rut and we get stuck in our ways and I'm not going to change. You know, if people don't like me like I am, they can just go, whatever. I know nobody in here has ever thought that. Have you, anybody in this room? No. I wonder what God is saying to you when you're saying that. There are some things that we've got to take a stand on. If people don't like it, that's too bad. But there's a lot of other things with temperament, personality, the way you come across to people, that God is saying, that's not loving. I want you to change, and I want you to have the courage to let me change you. I want you to become who I put you here to be. Listen to me. Life tries to make us into something evil, something bad. Those of you who've been abused, you've been hurt as kids, you've been stepped on in a marriage, whatever it is, you've been beat up by life, don't ever forget that the devil tries to use those things to make you a hard-hearted, mean, smart-mouthed, stubborn, and somebody God can't use very well. You with me? You take that and present it to God and let God change you and transform you and say, God, I want you to take these things and use them in my life to make me the best servant you ever had. Who but you knows more about, you know, if you've been abused, then help abuse people. If you've been divorced, then help divorce people. If you've been stabbed in the back, then help people have been stabbed in the back. Why get so hard-hearted about it? Open your heart and let Jesus Christ use you. God wants you to have the courage to stand up and proclaim your faith in Christ. Courage to believe Jesus Christ to save, to forgive and change people, to transform people. It takes courage to believe Jesus to change somebody. It takes, like we're seeing right now, there's some personalities that we see on the TV fairly often that you're just thinking, nobody's going to change them. God can. Jesus Christ can. Do I like what they're doing? No. Do I like the hypocrisy and all that? No. But do I need to believe? And I'm trying to believe because I know He can. God can change that person. He really can save that person. I don't know how, but He can. If it's up to me, I wouldn't save them. Run over them, but I wouldn't save them. But God wants to. God wants you to have the courage to serve other people, and He wants you to have the courage of a heart and soul to be humble. To be humble. To give Him the glory. Somebody doesn't thank you, so what? If somebody doesn't send you a card Remember your birthday? So what? You think of the fits we throw. We get upset because we didn't get a birthday card from so-and-so. Right? Anybody ever had that happen? You didn't get a Christmas card, birthday card. Now, I don't know what their problem is. They didn't send me a card. Can't you see God looking at that and going, look at my little sprat, my little brat down there. They didn't send me a card. Really? That's how we're acting. So they didn't send you a card. And then here's where we go further. This is the fun part. We write a story. I knew the last time I saw her, I knew she didn't like me, and I knew that she was up to no good. She's talking behind my back, and that's why she didn't send me a card. And we go into this big story. Well, you don't know anything. And then 2 months later, you find out they passed away. You didn't even know it. They were sick. They were in the hospital. You know, we make these rash judgments and we get all upset. Who cares? I don't want, you know, the birthday cards I get anyway, you know, a lot of them aren't funny. You get a certain age, they're not funny anymore. I got one from my sister last year. She thought it was funny. I didn't. You know, and when it was something about, you know, in the days when Noah built the ark and all that, I thought, this is interesting. And I opened up the inside of the card and it said, what was it like to be there? I said, that's not funny. That's just not funny. I called her and told her, that's not funny. Then it was more funny because I called her and told her it wasn't funny. You know, so you get those kind of cards. And it's like, but you know, they're great. But the point is, who cares if you get a card? It's wonderful. If somebody calls you and remembers a certain day or whatever, but if they don't, how do you know what's going on in their life? Maybe they are sick. Maybe truly somebody that they love dearly is gone from their life, and the last thing they're thinking about is anybody else. We just get our feelings wrapped up in the most mundane things that make no difference. Well, let me wrap this. We got to go. Friends, God wants you to have the courage to just put Jesus before yourself. It takes courage to say, Lord, today I'm going to deny myself and take up my cross and follow you. Today's not going to be about me. It's about you. It's all about you. Everything that happens today, I'm going to look and say, you allowed this for some reason. You could have prevented it, but you didn't, so you allowed it. And I'm just going to follow in your will and see what you want to do about it. I want you to be strong and courageous to really, truly believe that God is God and Jesus is Jesus. And that everything that God says is true. And it will come to pass. And until it comes to pass, have simple faith. Have simple faith. Be a servant. And in all you do, be courageous. Be courageous in love. Be courageous in serving. Be courageous in your faith. And give God the glory. And you watch God work the miracles that God so much wants to work if we'll just give Him a chance to do them. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we just ask you to take this word and implant it in our hearts and change us with it. Turn us into the faithful people with a simple faith that believes God for the impossible, believes God can change everything for the good. For the good of God's people, for the good of your name's sake, Lord. You can do it to your glory. God, turn us into the best servants in the kingdom of God where you can say, well done, job well done, my good and faithful servant. And God, in the meantime, put the spirit of boldness, of courage in our hearts, to strengthen us, Father, to do what you've called us to do, to be who you've called us to be, to just let go and let you be the Lord of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.